Lumbo Chao would often make the distinction of holding but not clinging. And that's his very sort of clear and direct way that, because oftentimes when if he would talk about sort of letting go or non-attachment or emptiness, then people would take that to be, oh, so you're just sort of spacing out, or how would you go to work? How do you look after the family if you're contemplating emptiness? And you could always hear Lumbo Chao's eyes rolling. You do it, but with a heart that lets go, with a Chitwan is an empty mind, an empty heart, so that it's, and that will be his very tangible and practical way that you pick something up, and you pick it up. It's not a problem. There's no suffering involved. You pick it up because you need to pick it up. When you don't need it anymore, you put it down. So holding our responsibilities, what we see, hear, smell, taste, touch, think, yes. But it's the mind that then grasps and identifies that, this is my bookmark. What does it really mean? Where did it come from? Who made this? And the kind of grasping and story making and identification around the perceptions. So that's a very simple, very clear standard we've inherited from Lumbo Chao. That's so useful. Just feeling the difference between holding and grasping, and learning how to hold this life without grasping. So it's not a rejecting or a fearing the sense world. And many of Lumbo Chao's Dhamma teachings are about consciously using the sense world for the development of wisdom. And that the sense contact, the fount of wisdom, is one of the kind of very, very significant talks in his collected teachings. So it's not a matter of shying away or kind of disconnecting from the sense world, but learning how to hold without grasping. The disconnecting from the sense world in the that what you were asking about, when the Buddha's saying, like, his body is like an old cart held together with strings and straps, and the only way he can feel comfort is to absorb into the kind of animitta cetu samadhi. The sinus concentration of mind is kind of like a very wholesome sort of anesthetic. It's like, I just check out of the sense world for a bit, just for a bit of physical relief. So he's wide awake, but the attention is just uncoupled from the sources of painful feeling. So it's a state of alertness, unlike anesthesia, where you're unconscious.
Yeah, and it's very restful. Because pain is, it tires you out.
Yeah. And you were kind of meshing together two things there, that that comment that the Buddha makes at the beginning of the Mahaparinibbana Sutta, when he's comparing his body to an old cart. But it's about half a dozen, maybe seven or eight times, you find this expression he uses when he's giving a Dhamma talk. And he says, the assembly is awake, my back is paining me, I'm going to go and stretch it. Mahakachana or Sariputta, Moggallana or Revata, the assembly is still wide awake, carry on giving a Dhamma talk. And so that he, as was saying a few days ago, that I feel that's a tremendously significant teaching, that the Buddha was ready to take action to relieve the pain of his body. He's incapable of suffering, but he's realizing, as he's giving a Dhamma talk, that the pain in the body is such that it'd be more helpful in the bigger picture to go stretch the body out, relieve the discomfort in the body, and somebody else can carry on giving a Dhamma talk. I feel that readiness of the fully enlightened Buddha, incapable of suffering, still takes steps to compassionately work with his body and its limitations, and isn't shy to say, Sariputta, can you take over? I'm going to go and stretch my back.